her eyes, and Baron Fox liked it. She was terrified of him, afraid of what he might do to her, or what he might give others permission to do to her.
"It's been 5 months since you birthed your last offspring."
It was a statement, but both the Baron and the woman knew it was intended more as a question. He placed his hands together, the fingertips pressing against each other.
"Well, I'm waiting for some answers."
The woman was in her early 40s. She was heavy-set, especially in her hips, and her breasts sagged, which was to be expected after giving birth to 5 children in the past 48 months. She was dressed in a thin white T-shirt that left her big dark nipples clearly visible through the worn cotton fabric. She also wore a pair of old denim shorts and a pair of fairly new black Western boots, her reward for delivering a set of twins a couple of terms back. The outfit would have looked good on a woman half her age, but as it was, the clothes looked a lot like the woman wearing them, old, tired, and worn out.
"I don't know what's wrong. I've been running almost every night."
"With who?"
The Baron walked the length of his office before turning to pace back across the same track of plush red shag. His burgundy bedroom slippers had worn a path in the carpet from years of pacing. When she didn't answer his question, he came to a stop in front of her and put a hand under her chin. He lifted her head up so that she would have to look him in the eyes when she answered the question.
"With who?"
"John. Jonathan Wyndham."
"The entire time?"
She tried to nod, but the Baron held her head firmly in place. Fox turned to Bauer, who was standing quietly off to the side, observing.
"Has he sired with anyone else in the past 5 months?"
Bauer was an accountant by trade, and his ability to handle numbers and other statistics had made him invaluable in the successful operation of Fox Farm. Bauer opened his ledger, leafed back and forth until he came to the page listing Jonathan Wyndham's breeding history.
According to the ledger, Wyndham sired 15 in the past 2 years, all norms, but none in the past 5 months. Either Wyndham has gone sterile or the bitch is barren.
In a flash, Fox pulled the riding crop from a specially designed pocket of his bathrobe and slashed the kneeling woman across the face. Bauer stood still and silent, by now used to these mood swings from the psychotic Baron.
"You bitch! If you knew you weren't conceiving, why didn't you turn Wyndham back to stud?"
An angry red welt appeared on the woman's left cheek, and beads of blood were beginning to well up through the reddened skin.
"He didn't want—"
"Don't fuck with me!"
The Baron struck her again with the crop, this time with a backhand stroke that put a matching red line on her right cheek. She shook her head. Tears leaked from the corners of her eyes. Similar tears of blood, leaving red streaks down her cheeks.
"He didn't want to go! He wanted to stay with me!"
Fox raised his hand again.
"Don't even think of saying it."
Her face flushed with anger.
"He loves me and I love—"
Fox didn't let her finish. He struck her again and again with the riding crop, about the head, neck, and shoulders, much harder than before. Her T-shirt shredded and fell from her shoulders, exposing her breasts. Fox slashed at them too, putting a series of X-like gashes across her chest.
"I don't want to hear talk like that, ever! I'm in the business of making and trading slaves, of selling babies, and love isn't allowed! Love destroys everything!"
So much for living the pleasurable life of sexual freedom at Fox Farm, thought Bauer. This was the real Baron Fox coming out now, the psycho who hid behind the guise of some pre-dark smut lord in order to justify his true nature. He'd guessed that the woman figured that if she didn't get heavy, she'd be able to spend more nights with the Wyndham man. She was right, of course, but he knew the arrangement could never last long. At her age, what with 5 months passing without getting pregnant, her days as a breeder were over, as was Wyndham's. 5 months without siring a child, and he'd be on the next slave convoy out of Fox Farm. Then it would be 6 months to a year working in some mill or refinery, and by then it would be time to board the last train west. And all for some triple-stoop notion like love. The woman lay in a crumpled heap at the Baron's feet. The Baron turned to Bauer, who had stood by impassively while Fox had administered the beating.
"Take her to the sick men's lounge. Tell them they can do what they like with her until the next convoy moves out."
"Yes, sir. Any restrictions?"
"No, just that if anyone chews her, they'll have to answer to me."
"And what about Wyndham?"
"Put him in the cell overlooking the lounge. Let him watch what happens to lovers on Fox Farm."
Bauer gave a little smile. Although he thought the Baron was insane, Bauer himself had never disapproved of his motives.
And after she moves out?
Give him a beating, then put him back in circulation. But keep an eye on him. He might get difficult.
Bauer went to the door and summoned a pair of SecMen into the room.
Take her to the lounge, but don't chill her. While you're having your fun, find John Wyndham and put him in a cell with a view of the lounge, so he gets a good look of his sweetheart in action.
What? They were lovers?
The SecMen said the word as if it were a curse. Bauer nodded.
Stupid bastards.
The SecMen dragged the former breeder out of the office. When they'd left, Baron Fox adjusted his bathrobe, retied the sash around his waist, and sat behind the large oak desk in the center of his office. To his right was a foot-high pile of pre-dark skin mags. He pulled one off the top of the pile and opened it to a familiar pictorial, in which a nude man was dripping hot candle wax onto a similarly unclothed woman, a fiery red-haired young girl. Fox had wanted to duplicate the scene for months now, but quality candles were as difficult to find as working blasters. He'd traded his human stock for a decent stockpile of weapons of all types, and was confident he had enough firepower to protect his operation from any outside attack. On the next trade mission to the east, he might try to cut a deal for a few candles. If not, he could always use molten lead, which, as he thought about it, might even be more interesting than wax. He replaced the magazine on top of the pile, then looked over at Norman Bauer, who was waiting patiently to be spoken to or dismissed.
What else do you have for me?
Bauer turned the page of his ledger, but before he could speak, Grundwald, the sec chief, came in through the open door. The man was dressed in dark blue fatigues that were in good condition, and two rows of 12-gauge shells and bandoliers crisscrossed his chest. A Mossberg Persuader 500 shotgun rested in a holster belted to his thigh. It looked to be in remarkable condition. Fox knew it would have to be urgent for Grundwald to walk in on him unannounced.
What is it, Chief?
A scout team spotted a group of 7 outlanders approaching from the north. They looked like they were heading toward the falls.
Were they armed?
Yes, my lord. Each had at least 1 blaster, if not more, concealed from our vision. They look like they know how to use them, too.
The Baron edged toward Grundwald with a look of anticipation on his face.
Were there any women in the group?
2. 1 black, 1 white. Both looked pretty young, too.
Fox inhaled a deep breath, and his eyes bulged. It wasn't a pretty sight. From the sec chief's initial report, it sounded as if these outlanders might be better left alone. He'd learned from experience that there was a big difference between scooping up families riding in convoys headed to the eastern vills and taking on seasoned outlanders who had learned to chill attackers on sight. While he'd gained plenty of farm workers ambushing wag trains, he'd also lost a lot of good SecMen to outlanders who preferred death over enslavement. But Grundwald's revelation about the 2 women changed all that.
Tell me, Chief, the white woman, what color hair did she have? Did it happen to be red?
Well, yes, my lord, but how did you know?
Fox looked back at his magpile, especially eyeing the issue he had just put down. The great man was indeed smiling down upon him.
Have them followed. When you find an opportunity to take the women, do it. If you don't return with him, don't return yourself. Is that clear?
Yes, sir.
Grundwald turned on his heel and left the office. Bauer looked over his ledger and likely figured out what that might do to the farm's monthly output of offspring.
2 hardy new women. This will look good for the bookkeeping.
Fox picked up the mag once more and opened it up to his favorite spread.
Yes. They'll make a nice addition to our breeding stock. That is, once I have my own ways with them. By the way, Bauer, the next time we do business with another vill, remember to barter for some candles, if at all possible.
When they reached the top of the rise, Ryan used the ancient brass telescope he'd found a while back and spotted a vill some distance to the south. There were several tall buildings, and one strange structure looked as if a wag wheel cover had been impaled on a panga.
Mildred, do you recognize that?
Mildred Wyeth stood by Ryan's side.
Looks familiar, but a lot of vills had towers like that.
Okay, we'll head for it. Stay alert, people.
The companions moved on, and at the bottom of the rise they came across a pre-dark road overgrown with weeds. It was still tough going, but easier than walking through dead forests and across weed-covered fields. After a half hour on the road, they came upon fields of flatland dotted with dead trees, whose stumps were lined up in neat rows. They approached the skeleton of a large glass house that had only a few panes,